Okay. I would like to call this evening's adjourned June meeting for July 7th, 2020 at 6 p.m. to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Gangler?
Here.
Mr. Giles?
Here. Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Present.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
Quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second. So moved.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska. Roll call, please.
I'm sorry, that was by Prochaska.
And Kellogg, and seconded by Prochaska.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes, and can we update the screen?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. Special recognition, we've put this off for several months now. It was going to be at the last meeting we would have had, I guess, prior to COVID. And we'll recognize Kendall Area Transit's 10th year anniversary. I know Mike Neuenkirchen, you're on the line, right?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for joining us. And I asked Liz Flowers if she would read off the resolution for us. I think you are the only board member that was here and when this was formed. So I thought it'd be appropriate if you would read that for us.
I would be very happy to do that.
Thank you.
Whereas March 22nd, 2020 was the 10th anniversary of the formation of Kendall Area Transit, and whereas Kendall County Board, local stakeholders, and the Voluntary Action Center of the DeKalb County formed Kendall Area Transit on March 22, 2010, and whereas Kendall Area Transit provides excellent and reliable general public transportation service for residents of Kendall County to locations throughout Kendall County and to medical and health-based offices outside of Kendall County, and whereas Kendall Area Transit is able to continue to meet transit needs of local residents through the combined efforts of Kendall County, City of Joliet, Village of Montgomery, Village of Newark, Village of Oswego, City of Plano, Village of Plainfield, Village of Platteville, City of Sandwich, United City of Yorkville, and local service agencies, and whereas Kendall Area Transit is an integral part of Kendall County community, providing services to an ever-growing number of diverse riders, ensuring their access to vital goods and services by offering transit services to medical offices, retail stores, social services agencies, employment locations, educational institutions, public libraries, food pantries, and more. Whereas Kendall Area Transit will continue to serve as a leading transit entity in our community in the years to come. Now, therefore, Scott R. Greider, by virtue of the authority vested in him as the Kendall County Board Chairman of the County of Kendall, Illinois, do hereby honor and applaud Kendall Area Transit, presented and adopted by the Kendall County Board this 7th day of July 2020.
Thanks, Liz.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, if you are here, we do have a plaque that we'd like to present to you. And Scott, you can hold it up for those in the back to see if you'd like. We will give it to you to hang up at the office. It just says, congratulations, Kendall Area Transit. Thank you for 10 years of reliable public transportation, exceptional personnel, and dedicated service to the residents of Kendall County, Illinois, March 22nd, 2010 to March 22nd, 2020. And then presented this date, July 7th, 2020, by the Kendall County Board. Anything you would like to say on behalf of Kendall Area Transit, Mike?
You know, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. And you know, obviously, when we had planned this whole thing, we had, I mean, I don't even think that anyone had ever expected that, you know, I would be attending a meeting via, you know, this, you know, Teams and, you know, accepting the award this way. The world has changed quite a bit in a few months, but, you know, CAT has grown significantly, and what I would like to highlight is even in the middle of this COVID crisis, we have continued to operate, and I just, the the dedication of the staff that we have, that have continued to come in every day to work, to provide people for medical transportation services during this time, as well as still getting to work, getting up to nutrition needs. It's just been a really, I want to say heartwarming thing. I mean, it's been phenomenal to see how our team has responded to this, for the citizens of Kendall County, for the people that we serve, and it's been a great honor to work with those folks, and it's been a great honor to watch this program grow. I came on board in 2014 and took over as director in 2016, and what we've gone through in that time to increase the program, increase what we offer to the the community, it's just been really great to see. And personally, as someone who grew up in Kendall County, it's great to be part of this.
Well, thanks for all your hard work on it, Mike, and it is appreciated, and I know a lot of our residents do take advantage of of this offering as well. Scott, anything you wanted to add?
No, I just wanted to thank Mike and his team for staying out there and, communicating with us consistently about the steps they are taking for COVID. They were, waiving the ride price for a while to help out people in need to get where they needed to get during this. The drivers are extra safe, cleaning the buses and, being diligent. So I just was really good to see that we could keep operations going.
Liz, anything you want to add?
This was such an effort from a lot of board members, but I think one of the board members who really pushed this forward was Jessie Hoffenrichter, and she was, this was something that she was very dedicated to doing. So I don't think this program could have happened without her efforts. So, and all of the villages really pulled together to get this done. DeKalb really, really helped us out a lot with this too. So, I mean, it was a very much a community effort to get this done. And I don't think anybody in this community has regretted that decision to do this. And I'm really happy with the program. I'm very happy that all the citizens have really stepped up and used the program, because it's really the ridership that it has really propelled how well this program has done. So I'm really glad that the citizens have really enjoyed the program as well. So
thanks, Liz. Did you have your hand up, or no? Did I see somebody else? Okay.
We're just waving around.
Maybe that's what it is.
All the villages and everything that we mentioned, throughout the proclamation, obviously everybody really stepped up. So.
Yeah, if I may add one thing, and then I know, because you got to go out the meeting, but this really has truly been a partnership between so many different communities, the county, VAC is a not-for-profit operator, and the people that we serve, and it really is a testimony to this community effort that this process was brought together. In a lot of places, other places in the state was kind of dropped into place, but CAT exists because there was an organic effort by the communities to bring this together. So thank you for, highlighting that, Ms. Flowers, and, it will remain that way in the future.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. And we will, at some point in time, I'm confident we'll be able to get back and see you in person, Mike.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing all of you in person someday soon as well.
All right, thank you. Public comment.
Thank you.
Come on up and say your name for the record, and you have 5 minutes.
Todd Miller in Burkeville. On June 15th, 2020, you were all emailed some information via attachment regarding opening a discussion about providing a mechanism for citizen oversight and review of local law enforcement for all the law enforcement agencies in Kendall County. On today's agenda, the County Board Chairman is making an appointment of a citizen to the Ethics Commission, which has a citizen oversight function for complaints made against elected officials. The email attachment provided had 18 examples of other local government bodies which have provided their citizens an opportunity to be involved and do a review of any citizen complaints made against a law enforcement officer. Presently, that review process now for any citizen complaint filed is handled by the law enforcement agency itself, either by its internal affairs section or upper management, or both. What I sent you was some research I performed in 2015 and then updated in June of 2020. The initial research was performed at the request of Sheriff Byrd shortly after he was elected. It was a discussion and something we talked about during his first campaign. The parameters Mr. Byrd suggested framed the research I performed. It was twofold. One was to provide some sort of citizen oversight, and two, not cost any taxpayer funds. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. There's an organization that can assist in this endeavor. It's called the National Association for Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement, or NACOLE. N-A-C-O-L-E can provide the needed expertise and guidance to assist the formation of a citizen oversight function for law enforcement. It would be a similar endeavor to what Mr. Baird did once as the newly appointed Oswego Police Chief in 2003 for the Village of Oswego. Mr. Baird implemented for the Oswego PD the concept of accreditation by CALEA. That stands for the Commission of Unaccredited for Law Enforcement Agencies, which has been formed by several law enforcement associations. One of the pillars of CLIA is building quality relationships with those we serve, which is us citizens. CLIA is a national accreditation that is performed periodically, a formal peer review process dedicated to meeting the highest standards and professionalisms. CLIA has written standards which are designed to, one, assist law enforcement agencies in the prevention and deterrence of crime, two, increase the effectiveness and efficiency of law enforcement services, three, increase the cooperation and ability to work with other law enforcement agencies, four, increase employee confidence in the rules and regulations, policies and procedures of the department, and five, what I think is the most important, to better the relationship between the public and the accredited law enforcement agency. Nicole is also made up of seasoned professionals, which allows us citizens, through an appointed review board, to understand what happened when a complaint has been made against a sworn law enforcement officer. Soon, we will have the needed tools to do that review. I am told that on Monday, July 13th, at your Law, Justice, and Legislative Committee meeting, Sheriff Byrd and his team will be presenting their body camera study and research with a proposal to fund those needed body cameras for his patrol officers for this upcoming budget year. I was told that the Kendall County Sheriff's Department Correction Division is already equipped with body cameras. The video cameras in the Kendall County Sheriff's Department squad cars have been a great tool. The patrol officer body camera addition is just the next evolutionary step. Oswego Village President Tori Parlier called me after receiving my June 15, 2020 email. President Parlier said he planned to discuss the citizen oversight subject with his chief of police. President Parlier asked me, what was the cost of one body camera? I told him I did not know, but Sheriff Baird did know, and then invited Mr. Parlier to sit in on the upcoming LGL committee meeting on July the 13th, 2020. We have great law enforcement officers in our county, and they do exemplary work each and every day. I'm asking you to consider forming a citizen law enforcement oversight function. I do not care what you call it. I do not care which of the three types you decide to use. There's an investigation focus model. There's a review focus model. And yet still there is an auditor-monitor focus model, or a blend of some form of the three or two, or however you want to put it together. It does not matter. What is important is that we have something that will work, something that will provide additional transparency, and allow our citizens to be involved in the law enforcement oversight. Let us do this as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich. Roll call, please.
Can we all just laugh now?
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Old business? New business. May I have a motion to for the ratification and approval of a collective bargaining agreement between Kendall County, Illinois, Kendall County Sheriff, and the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council, full-time Records Clerks Bargaining Unit effective December 1, 2019 through November 30th, 2024.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Flowers. Any discussion on this? Sheriff, do you want to talk
about this? Yeah, thank you, Leslie.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the board for their support and Leslie for everything that she did in negotiations. It actually went very smooth. Their business agent was out with a medical issue for a number of months, but when we met back up, quickly picked up where we left off and were able to settle it quickly, and they're very appreciative from what I'm told. So I just want to thank you.
Ms. Sessage.
This is retroactive from December?
Yes, it'll be retroactive to December 1st of 2019.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you. Yeah.
Roll call.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
All ayes. Thank you. Thanks to everybody for their hard work on getting this one completed. No need for executive session. Elected officials report and other department reports. Roger Benucci, do you want to? Mr. EMA Director, would you like to let us know what's going on?
Good evening, everyone. On the subject of COVID PPE, Administrator Keppel and I have been discussing the logistics and methods and amounts of PPE that we might be able to purchase going forward, since the state's going to cut us off July 15th, and they've essentially cut us off of any free PPE already. We've closed down the distribution of PPE down to just county agencies, although I'm still getting requests, and some of them are getting rather large. The question before us is, how much do we buy, depending on what we think is going to happen with COVID? Is it going to last through the end of the year? Is it going to go through next year, the year after? How much PPE do we get, and what type of PPE do we get? Do we get disposable masks, the masks you can rewash, and the cost can be astronomical depending on what method we choose. Some of the places that I've been administering PPEs to the assessor's office, the administration office here, public defender's office, etc. Any questions?
Any questions for Director Benucci? Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Sheriff, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Anything you want me to add?
No, sir. I just figured as long as you were here, I would give you the opportunity. Not about this necessarily, but we're under elected officials reports, so. Questions for Sheriff, otherwise.
Actually, I have one really quick.
Ms. Sessage.
Sheriff Baird.
Sorry, Sheriff.
Step up to the plate. since we're talking about COVID and PPE and everything else, and I've had a couple people ask me how that works through the jail. When you have somebody coming in, do they get tested right away? Are they quarantined for a few? Or how does that work?
Currently, all the staff in the jail are wearing masks at all times in the jail. When a new inmate would come in, they would go back into a separate pod. They would be in there for 14 days.
Okay.
They are screened in the beginning, and then they're in there for the 14-day period. There are screening questions that we ask them in order to minimize the possibility of it coming into the jail. So that's the process we put in place early on. Actually, in March, we worked with the state's attorney's office to stop taking in weekenders and work release because they're usually nonviolent offenders. Obviously, they're going to community every day or during the week and then come in the weekends, and that's the time where we felt that we would have the most vulnerability within the jail. So we've suspended all that. They'll have to serve their time at a later date or whatever the state's attorney and the judge decide on that. And we have followed the advice of our health department and also our medical provider on that. Fortunately, we do have the layout of the jail is physically by the building of it. We are able to quarantine them off in a separate area. We could probably take in about 12 quarantine in the cell. Or, I mean, in the pod, mm-hmm. in an individual mm-hmm. cell. And if we needed overflow, where maybe if we needed to house some prisoners somewhere else, I have talked with the Oswego Police Chief about using their facility for some of the people that have been in our jail. We would transfer them over there, and then we'd have another pod area where we could bring in, if we had an influx of prisoners that were coming in. A lot of our misdemeanors now are, if they're nonviolent, they are being given a notice to appear in order to keep the jail as safe as possible.
Okay. And so nobody's been testing positive at all, or, yeah.
Knock on wood.
Okay, good, because I know that's been kind of one of the questions. You know, we hear about Cook County and, you know, some of the problems going on over there, and, you know, so people, I had two people ask me, like, what's going on in our jails, not even knowing whether they were full or whatever, so I said that I would ask.
Yeah, we're in a fortunate situation where our population isn't as high as in other counties.
Right.
There is a pending injunction or lawsuit between the sheriffs and the state, because the state shut down taking in prisoners, that they're actually mandated by the state statute that they shall take prisoners once they're sentenced to DOC. Mm. We are currently housing three of them, and we had some of them for a while. The last one was Williams from last week. We're still housing him, but technically he should be over at DOC. Mm. And those are potential exposures for us, because we're still paying their food, any health care that they would need.
Yeah.
You know, without any reimbursement at this time, and obviously with Sheriff Dart and his situation in Cook County, that's obviously more difficult.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. Standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Kellogg.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution of the Kendall County Board abolishing the Board of Directors of the Tuberculosis Care and Treatment Fund.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska.
That is located on page 34 of your packet. We had good discussion at finance about this, and I know member Prochaska has more details than I can remember, so if he wants to contribute, I would appreciate
it. Mr. Prochaska.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This has been something I, for one, have been pushing to abolish since I first got on the county board back in 2012. I believe that with the state statute being as clear as it is, the state statute says exactly how much the Board of Health tax levy will be going up. There is no discretion on our part. It is the average of the past 5 years. Either how much they were levied or how much they actually spent. So whatever is greater. We don't have any control over that. I think that the Board of Health is more than capable, and our health department is more than capable of handling any tuberculosis outbreak. They just look at the COVID crisis, they have handled that very, very well in this county. And state law allows them to initiate and carry out programs and activities of all kinds that may be deemed necessary and desirable in the promotion and protection of the health of this county. So with the tuberculosis board being, in my opinion, largely a superfluous board in this day and age, there is still some tuberculosis in this county, and it largely coming in from Kane as well. But I believe that with the monies appropriated, our health department can easily fund it, can easily handle it. And I believe they've indicated as such.
Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. I would have put money on codification getting done
before that, but
of your.
I almost said
coming.
No. Just
it's coming.
Oh, please.
Economic development, Ms. Hendricks.
As you all know, we have been using the services of Thomas P. Miller and Associates to help us with the very involved process of getting businesses through grant applications. And moving forward, we've saved a lot of money versus having to hire someone to do that. Moving forward, we're still in need of those services, as well as some additional tasks that they will be taking on for us in the future. And so we think it's imperative that we renew this contract. It's coming to you out of committee. We were unanimous in our approval of this idea. It's pretty much doing what they've already been doing, but we need to continue doing that for several more months.
Ms. Hendricks,
I'd rather just open it up for discussion and questions.
The state's attorney has advised me that we need a motion before discussion. So
moved.
Second. Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Flowers. Anything else you wanted to add there?
No, just that we moving forward, I can't say this definitively. There is a possibility of us getting some monies to help us out with this. But we're kind of in a position where we need to provide these services, but we don't have the staff to do it. And this is, actually, they've worked out very well and been very professional and efficient, and it's far less expensive than hiring somebody.
Mr. Keppel.
Yeah, I've had a great relationship with TPMA. We're working on an EDA grant with the federal government to get hopefully 80% coverage of a larger economic development study, and also increased business surveys and communication with the businesses across Kendall County, and give us a strategic plan and roadmap for the future with economic development in the county. We're working on that, along with applying for grants for businesses. There are some new COVID ones, the pay grants that popped up. We're going to work with that and try to get the information out to businesses about it. We are going to do some direct business surveys as part of the scope update, which is on page 39 of your packet, is the scope update to the terms of what we'll be doing. The committee recommended to extend this through January 2021, so the new board will be able to have a little bit of time with TPMA and the new Economic Development Committee after the election. Can then evaluate in what direction they want to go. That'll give us some breathing room so action doesn't have to be taken immediately in December.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Audra, before I let you go, or Scott, under EDC, is there any update on whether anyone of the applications in our county has received money under the Downstate Stabilization Program?
Dave?
You want to go ahead, Mr. Keppel and I briefly spoke about this. Go ahead, Mr. Keppel.
They've only done the one wave. They did 1.2 million out of a total of 25 million that have been set aside for this project. So they no more information yet. Zero in Kendall County has been approved or denied, which is, I guess, a good thing. They just had the one wave that's been done. So we're hoping to see some money soon because these businesses need it very badly.
Thank you. Special committee reports, ISACO, UCCI, NACO, and other county organizations. Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, as many of you are aware that we recently received some information regarding distribution of the CURES Act funds, both UCCI and ISACO were very involved with that process. Granted, the counties did not get everything they had asked for, but neither did the cities, and that which is a switch and a change of pace. There is some money set aside for other governmental units, such as the Forest Preserve, and it's based on what zip code is the most highly affected, I believe. In Kendall County, the most highly affected one, according to DCEO right now, is 60545.
Oswego?
Plano.
Oh, is it Plano?
In terms of qualifying, I don't know what metrics they use for that, but that information was on the DCEO page and also sent out by both ISACO and UCCI. NACO is still sending out information constantly and is still trying to stay on top of what's going on in terms of COVID relief coming from the federal level, and they have been very active in advocating for the counties at all levels. The NACO annual convention is coming up later this month. Registration is free, so if anyone wants to sit in on the town halls or the actual business meeting, feel free to register with NACO. In light of recent events, however, I do have some good news for the state of Illinois from NACO. That is Denise Winfrey, the Will County Executive, is going to be unopposed in her upcoming election for our neighboring county will be president of NACO within the next couple of years.
Mr. Prochaska, do you have any news of your own?
Of your own.
I'm still getting all the details, but this afternoon I was informed that I'll be receiving an award from NACO based on my involvement with the membership recruitment.
Congratulations.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah,
very nice.
Very commendable.
We'll find out more. Find out more details as it comes in, but they surprised me on the committee conference call today on that one.
Aw, how exciting.
Well done. Well done.
Excellent.
Thanks, Matthew. Other business? Chairman's report, I want to kick it back to you, Matthew, for a quick minute. During Finance Committee, we had an update on the dollar amounts related to CARES. Or Scott, did you have that?
It's $1,040,000.
And then the Health Department is going to get?
Right around $90,000.
Mr. Prochaska.
And the $90,000 for the County Health Department is based on a formula that the state came up with based on the median household income of the county was taken into account. So since our county has the highest median household income in the state, we are not getting as much COVID relief money for the health department side of things. I'll give you an example, the downstate 7 health department, which is made up of the 7 southernmost counties, they have roughly 50% of the population we do, and they're receiving over $500,000 in funding. But for the $1 million, the million that we're getting is based on a per person of the unincorporated population. So even though the county's population is 120 some odd thousand, we're only getting it based on our unincorporated areas. So that is a very good segue into why everyone needs to be counted, particularly in the unincorporated areas, and as a plug for the complete count commission there. But even though municipalities, they don't have the jail, the court system, or any of those functions, they got the same dollar amount that we did per person.
Ms. Sessage.
So, Mr. Prochaska, can we kind of go over, just for people, since you brought it up, mm-hmm. how that works as far as, there were 3 counties in our state, I believe, that got money based on the population, but we are getting monies based on the median income. Do we know why? And B, the municipalities in our county will have an opportunity to apply themselves, mm-hmm. correct? So they will get money if they apply.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, the counties of Cook, DuPage, Lake, Will, and Kane all receive money directly from the federal government from the CARES Act. That is because their population was over 500,000 people. The city of Chicago also got a separate distribution from the CARES Act because their population was over 500,000 people. The counties that have received that money directly from the federal government, there is no opportunity for those local municipalities to get state CARES money.
Okay.
That money is dispersed directly from the county to the cities and other governmental units. Mm-hmm. So that has been quite the topic of conversation in DuPage and Kane,
yeah.
because they're still deciding on the exact formula in progress. Aurora, Plainfield, Joliet, because they do have some of their municipalities in Kendall County, will be getting a per person for the population in Kendall.
Not for Kane?
But not for their Kane or Will. They have to apply directly to the county there. So we're in a little bit of a better shape because we're not in charge of administrating that mm-hmm. program for all of our local government entities.
But so, for instance, if Oswego goes to apply for CURES Act money, will they be able to work with the school district in getting money for them?
Or the school district has their own separate pool of funds they have to go through.
So they can apply separately than the cities?
If they meet the qualifications as lined out. And this money is through the end of the year, 12/31.
So it has to all be spent by the end of the year.
Right. That's why I'm sure the school districts know this, right? That's just been the question that I keep getting is how much are the schools getting? Are the schools going to apply, especially when you look at Oswego? you know, what are their options? And because I don't, you know, we don't really know, or we don't have any say over that, I'm just hoping that they all know.
Mr. Couples?
So it's for unbudgeted costs incurred between March 1st and December 31st related to COVID. There's a list of eligible and ineligible costs, as well as there's Department of Treasury regulations from the federal government that we have to abide by, and additional state of Illinois regulations we have to abide by on how we can use the money. So we're sifting through all of those rules to try to figure out the best way to spend it. There's also, if there's other mechanisms that you could possibly get things paid for, that complicates it too. So we're trying to figure out the best avenue and how to use the money. There's also FEMA money out there, but there's a lot of overlap, and FEMA requires a match. So we're trying to use CURES first, and if there's anything left after that, then we'll do FEMA, because FEMA is 80-20.
So how that works is, if it was unbudgeted, we've kept track of our COVID expenses, we have to submit, like, receipts, basically, mm-hmm. to get the money reimbursed. So
the state of Illinois is going to hire a third-party company to handle the receipts that are submitted by agencies to get reimbursement up to our
$1,040,000.
So we're tracking expenses such as the easy stuff is like computers, masks, glass that we put up in the buildings. You can also do salaries if some more than half of someone's time is spent on COVID. So we're exploring that. But again, it's pretty strict in what you can do. The federal government has allowed some economic development relief as part of it, but the state has not allowed us to do that. So that may change. They also may extend the date past December 31st, but they may not give any more money. So we're also going to have to look at and plan on spending the money if we have to look at PPE for next year. And so it's got quite complicated, but we're sifting through it, and there's meetings and that going on. We'll be reporting back to finance when we get more clear information.
Mr. Prochaska?
I heard some people mention the school districts. For all other local units of government besides county health departments, counties, or municipalities, they will have to meet the same qualifications. It has to be unbudgeted expenses. And local governments serving areas that have been most disproportionately impacted by COVID will be prioritized over the others. Okay. So in Kendall County, right now the only disproportionately affected area would be the 60545 zip code.
So they would come first?
They would come first before, so Plano School District would come before Oswego School District as of right now.
Interesting. Okay.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure that we had a broader discussion on that, because I know that we talked about it at Finance Committee a little bit.
I have been sending information to Mayor Bob Hausler whenever it comes up on those disproportionately impacted areas to make sure that he's in the loop as much as possible.
Great. Thank you. May I have a motion to appoint Jeff Worley, Ethics Commission Advisor, two-year term expiring April 2022. Jim Horton, Lisbon Seward Fire Protection District, three-year term expiring April 2023. Brian DeBolt, Little Rock Fox Protection District, three-year term expiring April 2023. Clifton Eichelberger, Little Rock Fox Fire Protection District, three-year term expiring April 2023. Dwayne Christian, Newark Sanitary District, three-year term expiring July 2023. Joseph Steffen, Newark Sanitary District, three-year term expiring July 2023. David Thompson, Newark Sanitary District, three-year term expiring July 2023. Jay DeMarco, Board of Health, three-year term expiring July 2023. Carla Colosimo, Board of Health, three-year term expiring July 2023. Karen Kelly, Board of Health, three-year term expiring July 2023. Gabriella Shanahan, Board of Health, three-year term expiring July 2023. Eric Bernacki, Historic Preservation Commission, four-year term expiring July 2024. Christine Hyman, Historic Preservation Commission, two-year term expiring July 2022. Jeff Worley, Historic Preservation Commission Chairman, three-year term expiring July 2023. Elizabeth Flowers, Historic Preservation Commission, one-year term expiring July 2021. Eric Goss, Kendall County Housing Authority, five-year term expiring July 2025. And Richard Dick Whitfield, Zoning Board of Appeals, five-year term expiring July 2025.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Gilmore. Roll call, please. Ms. Sessich.
Can we have any discussion on this?
Sure.
I guess my question is how did you determine who you were going to be putting on the, because the Board of Health, these are three new positions?
Yes.
Or board member positions?
Yeah.
How did you determine who to put on that?
Sure. there were a variety of ways. Jay is a restaurant owner and has both in Oswego, Yorkville, unincorporated area, and you know, the Board of Health or the Health Department oversees that. I thought it would be good to have that insight and that mindset for the environmental side of it. Carlo Colosimo has served on public boards in the past and certainly understands how to read a budget, a public budget, and he also is a guardian ad litem, which I thought was a important item for him, something in his background that would be helpful to the board. Karen Kelly is a registered dietitian and also has her master's in public health, so I thought she would be a you know, bring a good perspective as well. And then Gabriella Shanahan is currently on 708 mental health and is from the Joliet area of the county, and thought would be a good representative for our newer areas of down in Seward and Miyase.
Okay, I was just curious how that came about. We see a lot of the times on these commissions the same names over and over, so I was just wondering, you know, do you get just these with applications? Do you go to them? That type of thing. So I was just curious about it. And then I see like Brian DeBolt and the Little Rock Fire Protection. Is this a new position or is he just re-upping?
He's re-upping.
Okay.
And then Clifton Eichelberger, he's also re-upping. Most of these fire districts have a, you know, they look at the different zones that they represent. Mm-hmm. And so they try to have Little Rock or Fox or, you know, representative. So Clifton represents the Fox Township area, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Mr. Jaskin.
Okay.
And with the housing, not the housing authority, the Historic Preservation Commission, that is to help us become compliant with the recently passed ordinance, if I remember.
That's correct.
Christine's always been, is that a new position?
It's a staggered term.
Yeah, we just passed that at the last
Nice. Okay.
Meeting.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, carry on.
Sorry. Roll call.
Mr. Greider.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vicker?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Here.
Mr. Yes. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Was that a present because you're on there?
I'm
yeah,
on
okay.
appointment. Yeah.
Thank you. Motion carries all eyes and a... abstention, I guess, a present.
I know, did she say, you said here?
Yeah,
okay.
I said here, yeah, because I'm
present.
One of the appointees, so I don't really want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Public
We're
comment.
Also confused.
Conflict of interest.
Say your name for the record.
Todd Miller in Yorkville. Scott, that explanation for the health department appointees, I thought was very well reasoned and thought out. Very commendable. So Amy got to ask a question of the sheriff about the jail. So I'm going to ask a couple questions. I know you guys can't answer them, but maybe it's something we can address at the next board meeting. One would be, and it's a very simple question, where are we at on the census and how many people have, I think that's important. We need to keep the public that in front of the public, and for the people that haven't done it, encourage them to do so. So it's very important to us for the next 10 years that we get the funding we deserve. Those people need to be counted, and it would be helpful if they are compliant. All right, so that said, sometimes people think that census is kind of a big brother thing. So that brings me to the next subject. The question I have is, we have a new health department director. We haven't really heard how well they're blocking and tackling. You guys may know that, but us in the public do not. And so the question I have is, are we able to trace? Are they able to get their people out? And if we do have a COVID infection, find out who that infected person has been in contact with, and then trace down who those people are, and then let them know you've been exposed. And if that's the case, there's a lot of concern from very conservative individuals that this is government overreach, but I don't feel that way. I think it's something that we're all in this together and we all have to do our part. But there's a part of the public that might be very conservative and might need to be a little educated and say, hey, this is something our health department has done for years for sexually transmitted diseases, okay? And COVID's no different. And so last week we heard that, no infections, no deaths. That's great. That's where we want to be. Now today we hear there's a few more, but it's a manageable situation. I just want to know, how well are we doing? And we need to tell the public that. Because if those people at the health department are doing their job, then we need to let them know that, hey, great job. Thanks for doing that and keeping us safe. And we want to get back to work. We want to get back to a normal life. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. And you're right. We don't respond to questions, but I do want to answer one of those because I think it's important for us, for the public to know. And there is a significant contact tracing program that the health department's been undertaking. Mm-hmm. And
they're applying for a grant right now.
And Scott, I don't know if you have any more detail on it.
I haven't heard back on the grant, although the amount was considerable.
That's 800,000 or so as
for
well.
For trace contact specifically.
And so my hope is I want to invite out the new director for our morning meeting and introduce her, and then she can address some of those things as well. Scott?
Well, Bonzi Community College is putting together contact tracing training opportunities for people. So in this unemployment that's happening in the state, there may be opportunities that pop up. I'm not sure the method that our health department is going to take to do it, but I know those jobs will be popping up around the state because of this. So that's just something I want to make sure that people know is out there.
Thank you.
Through their adult education program.
Before I get to a question from the press, I want to back up too. I'd asked Robin to give us an update at the next meeting, Robin and Mira and Scott, on census, but since it's come up a couple of times, Robin, do you have anything that you want to add now?
She's still here.
Way to take me by surprise.
I sent you an email.
Yeah, you said next meeting, though. I haven't pulled up the... where we're at recently.
That's okay.
About a week ago, we were behind McHenry by, I can't remember exactly. We're at about 78, I believe, percent response rate. I'm pulling it up now. But we have ordered yard signs and highway signs that are being put up around the county to remind people to complete the census. We also were awarded an additional grant for the next fiscal year starting July 1st. Actually, it just started now. So we have additional funds to try and reach people. So Mary and I are talking about some ways, additional ways we can try and get people.
We lost you, Robin.
So for those that would like, there are plenty of yard signs. There are 4x4 signs.
Where are they?
Scott, are they still upstairs in the?
So I'm gonna add, we've been placing a lot of them. Go ahead, shoot me or Mira an email. We can see about getting you one if you want on kind of count sign.
Yes. They should be, especially in Neosay.
Kendall is 77.
And we have Spanish ones as well. So we're putting those Plano, Boulder Hill, those areas where we have a higher concentration of Spanish speakers.
Mr. Kellogg has just advised that we're at 77.5 in the county. Is Neosse still lagging behind?
Probably.
His county.
His county.
Get the Kelloggs out there to register.
Just your family, yeah, right.
Questions from the press?
Jim Wyman, WSPY. Scott, are these three, Colosimo, Kelly, and Shanahan, the three from as a result of the TB board being abolished?
That's correct.
All right. Do you consult with Dr. John Palmer then about these appointments?
I don't know how to. No, I never have.
Okay. But that's your job to appoint, not the
yeah.
Board of Health.
That's correct.
Okay. Are the businesses that are you saying that no businesses that you've approved those $25,000, to back up those $25,000 grants, but no one has received money?
They've all been sent to the state of Illinois, and we have not had any replies whether or not they've been approved or disapproved. We have only got replies saying that they received the grant.
Now, has money been dispersed to other areas of the state from that?
One set of disbursements have been made for a little over $1 million. They committed a total of 25 for the program.
Okay. And when will you end the remote meeting and have everybody in here?
That's a good question. After it sounded like somebody's at a baseball game, perhaps the next meeting.
Okay. Because Sandwich had their first last night. They had everybody there.
What are some of the other towns doing?
Well, Oswego Township we haven't had yet, right? So
that'll be next Tuesday.
Yorkville.
So I don't know, but the Sandwich mayor wanted everybody in there, and so they had their first in council chambers meeting last night.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You. Appreciate it. No need for executive session. Sorry.
Okay.
I was waiting for the motion to adjourn.
I know. You're like, where are we?
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska. All in favor, signify. Oh, sorry. Roll call.
Gotta
do a roll call.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Sussage.
Yes.
Ms. Flowers.
Aye.
Mr. Gangler.
Yes.
Mr. Giles.
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore.
Yes.
Mr. Greider.
Yes.
All eyes.
All eyes, thank you. We are adjourned.